Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what's in your heart to do. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for transforming us. Thank you for releasing the life of Jesus in everyone, that would be joining us and listening in and part of what you want to do today. I yield to you. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God got us back. Yeah. Because of what Jesus did in the resurrection, he demonstrated defeat of everything that was separating us from God, demonstrated defeat of everything that would hold us back, and demonstrated the entrance in, which was himself, the door into a relationship with him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And the resurrection brought that on for us, a new birth. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. For an inheritance that can never be corrupted, never be destroyed, never be taken away, that it's, he brought us into that kind of an inheritance. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. We inherited Jesus. The word says that we became joint heirs with Jesus. All that he got, the Father, everything that the Father had, he gave to Jesus. All of creation, everything, from the stars, moons, physical creation to the spiritual creation, everything God the Father gave to Jesus, and we're now joint heirs. We have the same inheritance with Jesus in everything. I mean that's just mind blowing. It's reserved in heaven for you. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is in you. Reserved in heaven. Okay, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where's the Holy Ghost? In you. Okay, so all of this, the full inheritance is in the Spirit, in you, in your spirit, because your spirit and the Holy Spirit have become one. It's all ours. It's all ours. Amen. You know, Peter's writing this book in the midst of the believers, in the midst of, they were suffering a lot of suffering, a lot of persecution. You read maybe a dozen times he addressed it in this little book, this little letter, the suffering, talking about the suffering that believers are going through. And he compared it to the suffering of Jesus Christ and how he already was victorious over all of it and how he took it for us. And now we can look at the suffering, look at the persecution, look at the trials, look at the tribulation, look at this pandemic in a totally different way than we would ever be able to look at it if we didn't know this inheritance that we have. We didn't know what he had made available to us. We didn't know how he's already dealt with everything that needs to be dealt with in our favor. Now he's for us. Amen. Now God is for us. And if he be for us, who could be against us? Who? I love that. You know, a lot of people think that he's asking a question. He's not asking a question. He's making a declarative, powerful statement. If he's for us, then who the heck could ever even think about being against us? What could ever think it could ever raise its ugly head up against us? What? It's craziness, is what he's saying. When we understand that Father gave his son, Jesus Christ, to us, and he paid the price, he gave his life. If he did that for us, how much more, scripture says, will he not give us all things? Wow. Let it sink in. Let it sink. I'm gonna keep reading in a minute, but let me say this, okay? We have a natural realm, we have the human realm, and we have the eternal realm of God, the kingdom of heaven. And before you were born again, before you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're standing in the human realm. Okay? And you're looking at you are looking at the kingdom of heaven. You're looking at the word of God. You're looking at the things of Jesus Christ, the word about Jesus Christ. As I look at it, like it's unknowable. It's impossible and it's invisible. But when we look at it from the human realm, we're looking at something that is invisible. It's unknowable in the natural realm. We cannot know about God in the natural realm. In the human, earthly realm. It's invisible, it's unknowable, and it's impossible. There's no way we can do the things that Jesus did from this, from the human standpoint. There's no way, right? Yeah. What happened? Jesus came to us. The Spirit of Jesus came to us. He came to us to put a claim on our life because he paid for us. He created us and he paid for us. He paid to have us, to have ownership over us, to be our life for us. He paid for the greatest privilege known to mankind, to have him live inside of us and one with us. He comes to us. He came to us while we were yet in this realm, while we're still in the natural realm. While we're still in the human realm with human understanding, he came to us with absolutely no proof in the natural, only the proof of his word released to us by the Spirit of God. But what does he come when he brings his word? He comes with his own faith. And he brings that word wrapped in the faith of God, not our human faith, wrapped in the faith of the living God. And he brings that word to us. And what happened? What happened?
What?
We received the faith in that word, the faith of God in that word, without any human understanding. There's no way, none of us understood that salvation. You were hit with the faith of God and the word of God. And it could be just something as simple as John 3:16, for God so loved the world, okay? That world means the people of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will have eternal life, not perish anymore. What did we hear when we heard that word? God so loved me. That's what I heard. God so loved me that he sent Jesus for me. What was that? The Spirit of God releasing the faith of the Son of God, releasing his faith in me. And I just received. I just said, yes, I believe. I'm not believing with my own faith. I'm believing with the faith of God that he gave me. That's the only way. You see, everything's got to come from God. It can't come from us. It's never going to be something that we work up. It's never going to be something that we produce. It's got to be supernatural. It's got to come from the heart of God, or it's us. We can never take any glory, never take any credit for anything good that happens in our life. It's all the grace of God. It's all God seeing us first, moving first, loving us first, coming to us first, releasing first. So our part is just to receive. Receive. In the receiving, when he releases, in the receiving, the transformation occurs. Wow. Okay, so what happens? What happens? We get saved and then we go to church. And we find out now there's all these things that we need to do. And then we find out, okay, there's all these rules I need to keep, and there's all these laws I need to try to abide by. And we try, and we begin to try to do. Okay, it says in Colossians that the same way you first got saved, that's how we are to walk our Christian life. There's absolutely no way we can walk the Christian life. That's why so many believers struggle. And of course, if you haven't received the Lord yet, then you don't have any idea what I'm talking about right now. But you will. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Okay. It's all about God. It's not about us. He's the originator of every good thing, beginning with the call to come to Jesus, the call of salvation by the Spirit of God. Come to Jesus. Come. Beginning with that, it all comes from God, not from us. And we get caught up in religious stuff, and we begin to change the way we operate. We begin to change the way we move out of that simplicity of faith. We move out of that place of just simply having faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, to having some kind of perverted faith that's not His faith, and we get into religious stuff and we get all messed up. And I had to be corrected by the Spirit of God. I've had to be corrected many times. I can't even count how many times I've been corrected, but it's always in love and always to take me higher. It's always, His intended purpose is always to wash the crud off and bring me into glory zone and bring me to that place where there's life all around me, where there's blessing all around me. Bring me to that place where I'm in the river and I'm not paddling down the river. I'm being carried down the river. Okay? Yeah. It's all got to come from Him. It has to. That's true Christianity. It's not what we do. It's what He does. He begins it. He sustains it. He finishes it. Jesus Christ is the author. He's the author and the perfecter and the finisher of the faith that we operated in. That we operate in. It's not human faith. It's a God faith. It's a gift. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. The old man been crucified. The old spirit man been crucified with Christ. And I live, that guy lives no longer. But now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live in this body. How? Not by my own faith. I live by His faith. That's the faith that changes the world. That's the faith that changes the circumstances. That's the faith that releases the Spirit of God to be bring us to the place where He wants us to be. It's got to be His faith. No, I don't live by my own faith. I don't live by my own understanding. I live by His faith, the faith of Jesus Christ Himself. That's the Word of God. That's what it says. Okay, when that comes, it's just, Yolanda, I receive it. Whoa. There's no thinking about it. There's no wondering about it. But here's what happens. Because the religious system gets... Once we get to church, and you know, I'm believing one of the things that's going to come out of this whole mess that the world is in right now is that the face of the church is going to change. I believe the Spirit of God has a new face He wants the body of Christ to have. It's going to look different. It's not going to be faith in what I think about Scripture. It's not going to be faith in how I interpret Scripture. It's not going to be faith in what I think God is doing or what God isn't doing. It's not going to be faith in anything other than faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done, period. And that's the faith that's in my heart. What happens if I take this Bible? I say, this is a Bible. Right? Mm-hmm. What am I doing? I'm declaring what I believe to be true. It's a fact. What if I said, I think this is a Bible. I believe this is a Bible. What am I doing? I'm releasing to you faith in my opinion. I'm releasing to you to try to get you to agree with my human faith about what I think about something. I don't know if you're getting this.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what so much of Christianity today, all over the world, is people declaring things that they think, that they believe is right, that they've interpreted the way they've interpreted. I tell you, that's not Christianity. It's faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. He is the author. He's the perfecter. He's the finisher. Everything is in Him. He is the all in all. Everything is for His glory and to His glory. There's no other reason for anything other than for Jesus to get glory. But what do we see? And the church has come to the place all over the world where we get all kinds of theology that gets put out, all kinds of religious opinions put out about all kinds of things, right? I mean, it's as varied as the sand on the seashore. There's so many different thoughts and words about about what people think about what the Word of God is saying. I tell you, I make it my aim, I make it my goal to preach one thing, to preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him resurrected, and Him raised to heaven. And the fact that He did all of that so that I too could live, so that I too could be a new creation, so that He could live in me. I tell you, that's the gospel! That's the gospel, not all the other things that so many people are caught up in. If you're reading scripture and you're getting something out of it other than the fact of bringing you, driving you to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing you to know how great He is and how He's the number one reason for everything in your life, then you're reading it wrong. Amen. It's true. That gulf between the human realm and the supernatural realm, the kingdom of heaven, where God rules, God reigns, that gulf cannot be gapped by anything other than the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
not by anything we could ever do. Mm-hmm. Not in us thinking this or thinking that, or believing this thing or believing that thing. It's only faith in Him and in Him alone. He is the bridge. He's the only bridge that takes us over. The only kind of faith that can operate in the kingdom is Jesus' faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's His faith. It's not a human faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. If you find yourself saying, I think. I think God is saying this. Boy, He corrected me how many times on that?
Yeah.
You think, son? well, turn your eyes to Jesus, and then you're going to know. Turn your eyes to Jesus. He's the bridge. And Mark chapter 11, verse 22, He's getting ready to tell them, you know, you can speak to this mountain, and if you believe and you do not doubt, you can command this mountain to be cast up here into the sea. But verse 22, before He's told them that, He says, you have, this is the literal interpretation of what it says in the Word, you have the faith of God.
Mm-hmm.
You have the literal faith of God. That's the way you guys operate. That's the way He wants us to operate. Okay? And somebody's going to start saying, "Well, now, how do I get this faith of God? I mean, I'm trying to believe. You're trying to believe. That's your own faith. How do I get? The moment you got born again, the only way we could be born again is to have Him bring His Word with His faith, and we just received it and responded to it. It's the only way we could receive salvation." Brothers and sisters, it's the only way we can live. It's the only way we can walk in this life. The only way. The only way. I don't know. The only way.
Really? Thank you, Lord.
You want to see stuff happen? The Spirit of God responds only to bring glory to Jesus. The Spirit of God, Jesus said in John chapter 16, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to come to glorify me. That's it. Not to glorify your religious theology. Not to glorify all the things that you think. Not to glorify.
Must be the one you to drink it.
Only to glorify Jesus. Only to glorify Jesus. If you're looking at something, you're trying to see something in the spiritual realm, and to you, you just don't know it. It's unknowable. It's invisible. Or it's impossible. Like you look at something in the Word, Jesus, He said, the works that I do, you too will do. And if you find yourself thinking that's impossible, then you're thinking with a natural mind. You're thinking out of the human realm. Because Jesus said, when you step over here,
Now everything's possible. There's nothing impossible anymore. Because that's the nature of God. That's his nature.
Oh. Yeah. So we were, one of my favorite scriptures that I learned early on was 2 Timothy 1:12, that says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard me until the day I stand before him. I know in whom. I know the person in whom my faith rests. Not, I know all the theology. I know all the things. I know all the doctrine. I know all the word of God. I can quote all this word. No. I know him in whom I have believed. I know him in whom my faith rests. I know that he will guard what I have entrusted to him. What have I entrusted to him? Everything. Everything. Until the day I stand before him. Wow. Hallelujah. So let's keep reading here. Okay, it says in verse 5, 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept, we are kept, you are kept by the power of God. You are kept by what you do? No. By your right theology? No. By your thinking right? No. What? How? You are kept by the power of God through faith. Through God style, Bible style faith. Not through your personal faith of what you think or place faith in. It's only faith in him. It's only faith in him. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What salvation? I thought we were already saved. Well, your spirit is. You have a born again spirit, born in heaven, completely pure, completely holy, completely powerful, completely anointed, completely lacking nothing. But you're going to see it a couple of scriptures down. That is, our soul still needs to be saved and is in the process of being saved. And as we get towards the end and Jesus comes back, busting back through the clouds, we're going to find ourselves to get a new body too. Yeah. Your body's going to get saved and you're going to get a body that's equipped for eternity to match the body that Jesus had after he was raised from the dead, able to walk through walls, able to say, I want to be in Port Charlotte, and I'm in Port Charlotte. I mean, I want to go bless somebody, you're there, you're blessing them. Whatever it is, okay, it's a supernatural, incorruptible, totally undefiled, never to be destroyed body that has already been given for you. It says in Ephesians that it's already, your body's already reserved in heaven for you. Your brand new, it's already reserved. The Holy Ghost has got it all set for you. I mean, that's the greatest vehicle you're ever going to drive.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says in verse 6, now remember, he's talking about people who have been, they're in the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution. And, you know, just like there's a lot of people right now today in the midst of persecution, in the midst of suffering, believers who are being persecuted because, you know, they're not getting bent. They're not getting upset. They're not getting all worried and frustrated. They're not, flipping out. I tell you, the enemy will do anything and everything he can to get, for what? To get you to think that you are outside of Christ, to make you think that you're on your own, you're independent somehow, and that you don't have a handle. Okay, I'll never have a handle, but Jesus has a handle. Yes. It's his handle that I walk with. Yeah. Just before I'm getting ready to come here this morning, I got a text. I shouldn't have looked at it. A text that said I said something that probably caused a chain reaction to cause another one of our customers to back out, canceling the contract. Okay. Well, you know how that hit me? First, it hit me from this standpoint, from the human standpoint, like, I just went, hang on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! 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 Glory to you, Lord! Glory to you, Lord! Glory, glory, glory to you, Lord! I can't wait to see! I can't wait to see what you're going to do! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I had to make the decision to shift out of the natural and into who I've been made to be and to declare the truth. Or I wouldn't be able to come here this morning.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't be able to talk to you right now. Because I'd have this irky thing going on the inside of me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I know there's a whole bunch of you listening to this. You got irky things going on in the air. You got painted in buttholes that are bothering you.
Yeah.
Spirit of God, it's a great surgeon.
Is that a new word?
Spirit of God removes it as we believe. As we believe. He says, okay, in this you greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Do you know, it took me a long time to understand this, but we, as we're growing in grace, as we're growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and our relationship with him and what all he's done for us, we need to have what I call dry times. You know what a dry time is?
Yeah.
You're praying, but you ain't sensing nothing. You're praying, it's like, God, are you even here? That's what you feel like. Okay, the feelings come out of this realm, the natural, the human realm. Okay, over here, there's nothing but a knowing. There's no feeling involved that's negative. If there's going to be feelings. There's going to be rejoicing, praising, honoring, worshiping, the glory of our God. Those are the feelings that come out of here. These feelings of, oh, let's go, I'm going down, things are going wrong. Okay, that's totally human. Only one way to bridge the gap. Jesus Christ. Put your focus back on him. Put your eyes back on him. Put your attention back on him. Begin to praise him. Begin to worship him. Begin to thank him. He's taking care of all of it. God didn't miss a beat. There wasn't anything that God's caught, that ever comes into a life that God gets caught and says, shoot, dang it, I missed that. God will never say that. He doesn't miss anything. He sees it all.
Amen.
And you know, the only reason that those things ever make it into our life is because God had planned glory to come out of it. God had planned rejoicing. God had planned joy to bubble up inside of us coming out of this thing, this trial in our life. That's God's plan. Okay, if I'm standing in the human realm and speaking and thinking out of the human realm, then all I'm going to do is postpone what God's already got for me. How about you? I'm not so much into that anymore. That really doesn't thrill me that much anymore. You know, kicking against the goads, trying to make something happen, kind of worrying and stressing over stuff, that doesn't really do it for me anymore. You know, just not that it ever did, it's just that I thought that it did. I thought it would make a difference. You know, if I got in somebody's face, it was nasty. I thought it would make a difference if I got back at them. Yeah, but, you know, I've learned it doesn't make a difference positively. It makes a difference, but just takes you farther down the slide. I don't like the slide. No, I like the high position that he put me in. I like being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I like looking down at my enemies. I like looking at them. If they're people, I say, I bless you. Bless you. Just don't know. Thank you, God, for opening their eyes. If they're demons, I say, you're powerless. Take a look at where I am. You can't do nothing. You can't get to me. You can't get near me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But one of the things I've learned out of the dry times is that I've got to learn it. I had to learn the difference between God faith, Bible faith, and my human faith. It's not faith in what I feel. It's not faith in what I think about anything. Here it is. It's faith that he who is now living inside of me, he who has now become one with me in my spirit, that now he's come not to give me ability to try to do things. He's come to take the place of my trying, take the place of my striving. He's come to take the place of all of my effort. He's come to do it for me, through me. This is really big. You know, I don't know how I can say it, how many times I can say it, how big. Maybe in the spirit right now, Holy Spirit, you could just enlarge the letters. As I say this, okay? God's style faith is faith in his faith in me operating through me. It's confidence in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the person of Christ, in the person of the Spirit of Christ in me has become one with me. My faith is in him to live his life through me. That's how I do the things that Jesus did. Not because I've learned techniques, I've learned tricks, I've learned different ways of doing it. No, it's because I have faith in him who did it once, he'll do it again. That's the gospel. This is big. This is really big. I'm sharing with you what took me years to come to an understanding of this. Because I would have faith in all kinds of different scriptures. And we only need faith in the one who wrote the scriptures. Who voiced the word. Who spoke the word. I don't know how to do that. Well, you know what? Nobody knows how to do that except him. And that's the point. Our part, we are vessels. You read in scripture over and over again, you see that we are vessels, okay? We're a vessel fit for the master's use. We're a vessel to get filled with him. Okay, why what's the purpose of a vessel? To be something or to hold something? To receive something. A vessel's purpose is to receive. The purpose of this vessel, your vessels, is to receive the glory, receive the person of Jesus Christ in the presence and power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this vessel, to receive him, to receive his life, so that we may allow him, as we have faith in him, allow him to live his life through us, to touch people through us. My God,
yeah.
We don't need to push. See, everything that happens in the kingdom, he's the originator of. He starts it. He brings it to us, and he does it through us. Mm-hmm. We don't have to make anything happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've had times that's happened to me. We had a guy that came in the food pantry. He said he just got out of the hospital. He said, I didn't get out, actually, I left. I was supposed to stay there longer because I have some kind of infection and I got these sores all over my leg and they're oozing, and they were oozing. And the guy sat right there in that chair, not that exact chair. it was a different chair, but it was in that spot. he sat right there. And I got down on my knees right next to him and I said, I'm a believer, and I believe in Jesus Christ has gained victory over whatever it is that's going on inside of your body. And if you will allow me to put my hand on you, you can tell me no if you want, then I believe that God will demonstrate. I just knew that in my heart.
Yeah.
He'll demonstrate that his resurrection life. God says, go ahead, you're stupid.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care what you think. If you're allowing me to do it, I know. You know, this is not a thinking matter for me, okay? I'm past thinking. I put my hand right on it, and the stuff's oozing out around my hand. It's supposed to be infectious. And I stepped back. I said, God, I just bless what you're doing. The guy jumped up, started screaming. He ran out of the building, ran all around the building, and came back in. He says, what the heck did you do? I said, if there's anything that happened, it was not me. It was Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who rose from the dead, and he's living in me. And we watch those things dry up on his leg. guy got completely healed. Why? Resurrection life. Resurrection life. Do we know what we've been given? Do we know who's living in us? Do we know? If you have doubt, don't do anything. Don't move. It's not a bad thing, okay? It's not like God's turning his back on you if you have doubt. It's not like God's disowning you if you have doubt. We all have doubts. It comes to every one of us. As long as we're in this body, in this world, there's going to be doubts that come, okay? It's not the judgment of not God judging you, saying, well, you're not fit to be my son. Don't go there. It's an opportunity. The way I look at it is every doubt is an opportunity for me to see the glory, for me to step past the doubt into the answer, into the revelation of who Jesus is. That's what it is. It's okay. It's okay. Where were we? Okay, verse 7, 1 Peter 1, 7. Why do these various trials come? Okay, why do we have these dry times? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we see him, that everything that we did out of his faith will bring praise, honor, and glory to him. Everything. Mm-hmm. The things that we did or didn't do out of our own faith are going to fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. It's only what happens through us, through the faith that he gives us, through his faith, as he lives his life in us. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So now we can rejoice with joy that can't even be humanly expressed. It's off the chart. Receiving the end of your faith. What's the end of our faith? The salvation of our souls. Our souls are mind, will, and emotion. Emotions are in the process of being saved by the Spirit of God, and as salvation comes, as our mind gets renewed to the truth, as the Spirit of God releases truth and our mind gets renewed to it, and we begin thinking more and more like Jesus. We have the mind of Christ, our spirit. It's as our natural mind receives from our spirit. You ever heard people say, I can't wait for, what I know here to get from here to here, to get from my head to my heart. They don't realize what they're saying is the knowledge that I have about maybe scripture. I can't wait for that knowledge to get from here to my heart. It's the other way around. Your spirit already has the mind of Christ, already knows all things, 1 John chapter 2 says. And now we want it to get from our spirit to our mind to teach our mind how Jesus thinks. Did you ever see Jesus in scripture? You ever see him stressed out over a problem?
Yeah.
Can you find anywhere in the Gospels where he says, guys, we better pray heavy about this one. I don't know. I'm not really sure how we're going to handle this. Can we just like come into agreement here in unity and see what we can figure out? I don't know. You mean they want us to pay the temple tax? Oh, but Jesus, we don't have any money. He says, not a problem. Throw your fishing line in the water. See, there was never an issue because Jesus was operating out of the spirit realm, out of the heavenly realm, out of the undefiled, totally pure, the no lack zone, I call it.
Yeah.
There's no lack in this zone. He's operating out of that zone. If we're operating out of this zone, we got lots of lacks.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to handle all this stuff. Get yourself out of there and over here. Jesus, you're my life. And just as you did it when you walked on this earth, you do the same thing through me. You're not any different. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. In me, you're the same.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. They prophesied, they couldn't wait to see the grace that has come to us. What's the grace? It's what God has done for us. Mm-hmm. Not what we do. It's the grace is Him living for us, through us, Him doing it for us, us trusting in Him for everything that we need to accomplish. So I got, you know, being a young Christian, I got caught up in doing things, okay? I got caught up in, you know, I just thought I was supposed to do things now.
Yeah.
So I started doing everything. We were in a little Baptist church, and they wanted to put an addition on, and there was only four young people in the church, and the rest were all over maybe 70, all over 70. Maybe most of them in their 80s. And they wanted to put an addition on, and my hand goes up. I'll do it. I'll build it. Okay. Yeah, okay. Without understanding, I was clueless, okay? God takes us at the level where we're at. You know that. God doesn't hold back His blessings from us because we've not yet arrived to a greater understanding of who He is to us. He doesn't hold anything back. It's all available to us, okay? But He wants to take us on and take us on and take us on until we're thinking like Jesus. So I said I would do it, you know, I got up on the roof one day. Actually, I put a whole pile of cement blocks up, and I put a step ladder on top of the cement blocks. I'm in construction, right? No, I know better than that. You don't do that. You get a full-size extension ladder that goes all the way up. It's supposed to stick 2 to 3 feet above the roof. I know all that stuff, right? So I put this step ladder up on a bunch of blocks, and I got up on there. And I did a bunch of work on the roof, and then I'm coming down, and I put my foot on the top, and there it goes. When I went down and landed, my knee right on blocks, broke my knee in 7 pieces. The beauty is, the pieces didn't separate. The x-ray showed the 7 pieces, but there's no separation. Okay, what that did was, it caused me to have 3 months on my back to begin to learn how to relate to God, begin to build my relationship with Him. I didn't know that. I kicked against the ghost. At first I thought, how the heck are we gonna live? How are we gonna make it? We're not gonna have any income. How are we gonna manage it? Okay, that's operating out of this realm. I didn't yet know that God got me born again so that I could operate out of His realm, out of His world. I didn't yet know that. So God still met me where I was at. And He'll do that with every single believer. He'll meet you where you are at. And it brings no condemnation and no guilt because there's something you don't know yet. He never does that. He cannot do that. He cannot do that. Did you hear me? He cannot do that.
He cannot
do that. He cannot. So, where was I going with all that? Okay, so I had that whole period of time I just dove into the Bible, and I every day I'm telling my wife, you got to see this, you got to see. She was born again way ahead of me. Before we ever got married, she was born again. She knew a lot of scripture. And she says, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I said, well, but look at this. I'm seeing it for the first time. And I'm telling her, yeah, I know. It was time for me to begin growing. See, that was a trial. That was a test. And it wasn't until it was over till I realized that, okay, God, You knew that was going to happen before it ever did. You didn't stop it. Why? Because right now I'm walking with You like I never thought I could walk with You. I'm knowing You so much better than I ever could have if I was every day working 16 hours. You know how many people are right now all over America that aren't working? They've been given an opportunity by the Most High God, the One who created them, who loves them, who has an awesome plan for them. Yeah, I'm talking to you. He has a plan for you.
that your mind cannot comprehend, cannot begin to fathom how great it is. You may be born again, caught up in the world system, and just lacking that intimacy, lacking that relationship. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it, please. Shut off the television. I could take about 20 seconds of the news.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah.
Maybe not 20 seconds. Maybe it's 10 seconds. Turn it off. Sit with it. Sit with it. This grace. This grace. Romans, a couple more scriptures, and I'm heading out. Romans chapter 11. I'm not telling you where I'm going. Romans 11. Hallelujah. I like the scripture. Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." How many things are left out of that? You know, we don't have a problem looking at looking at creation and we don't have a problem looking at creation and realizing that you look at the flowers before it comes springtime. You look at the flowers and they're all closed up, maybe look a little wilted, maybe look even close to dead, right? But what happens? It's part of the all things. And the sun comes and the rain comes. And what happens? What do those flowers do? They just receive. All things come from him, through him, to go to us. That, the flower, like all of creation, is meant to be a canister to hold the glory of God, to display the glory of God. You cannot look at creation and come up with any other answer than the glory of God. It's Jesus Christ. We are the only vessels that God can live in. He can deposit his glory in all of creation, but we are the only ones, because God is a person and he can only dwell in a person, his creator, who he created in his image. Right? Everything comes from him and is meant to go back to him. And that includes the very faith by which we walk every day. Comes from him. Comes from him. So what do? We just believe.
Amen.
We just believe. He's living
in me.
And he's given me what I need. If you look at James, just go back in my Bible. It's one page back. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up."
Yeah.
Humble yourself. Don't consider yourself that important. Your spirit is very important. Mm-hmm. But your humanity is humanity. Okay? He says, humble yourself. That means yield to his leadership. That means yield to his leading. Yield to his lordship. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And he doesn't say, and he will give you instructions on how to do it. Nowhere in Scripture, in the New Covenant, does the Word of God say that God wants us to get our self-life trained to do godly things. He doesn't want that. He wants us to simply receive his life and let him live through us.
Amen.
For his glory.
Amen.
Who's going to get the glory?
Okay.
I mean, if all I'm doing is believing he's living in me, he's got everything I'll ever need to say, to do, to function, to go, all in me, in him, then I receive and I just go as he releases. If I believe that, who's going to get the glory? How can I ever get 1 ounce of that glory? I cannot.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. He doesn't want us to. Part of humility is, and we all go through this because we have the human side. We have a soul that's not there yet. We have a body that's basically stupid.
Yeah.
And the body just basically does whatever our soul tells it to do. Okay. We got a new one coming, but right now we got a body that's spent years getting trained to do things that are not good. To punch people, to, you know, do things not good, right?
Yeah.
So when things come to you and you find yourself in fear, what do you do? Do we pretend it's not there? Scripture says that Jesus was tempted in all ways just as we are, but he never sinned. What happens when you find yourself in fear? What do? You humble yourself and you say, God, I got fear going on right now. It's not who I am. It's not who you made me to be. It's not my spirit man. There's no fear in my spirit man, but it's in me. I don't want it there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's no temptation seize you except what is common to every other man in all of time. But God makes a way out. How does he make a way out? I believe that you and me will live the opposite of that. You'll swallow up that fear and you will release joy. You will release peace. You will release an understanding that can only come from your heart. And the Holy Spirit sees our faith in Jesus Christ and releases it. And the fear goes. Not by pretending it's not there, not by denying it, not by saying it's not real. We all have that stuff. I got a shot of that this morning. I just told you about it. The fear just came right in. Oh, here goes another one. Another job down. Just like that, it came. What we do with it determines where our faith is. And where our faith is determines what the Spirit of God is or isn't going to do. Because he always brings glory to Jesus and the finished work of Jesus.
Yep.
If I got habits, bad habits. Any of you have bad habits? No, probably not, right? Yeah, I know there's lots of people that are listening to this, that you got some stuff going on, you know these habits are not good, and you know they're not pleasing. They're not really benefiting anyone. You know that. So what do you do with it? You pretend it's not there? You just think it's going to just somehow just go away? Or do you humble yourself? Say, look, God, I got some bad habits, and I don't want them. I've tried to get rid of them, and they just get worse. See, there's operating out of the human realm. Not, God doesn't ask us to try to do anything. That's religion. God is not asking us to try to do anything. He wants us to receive. Just receive. And then watch the fruit. Because the Spirit of God takes our receiving and trusting in him. And he brings fruit out of it. That's the gospel. Are you with me?
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Look at this. One more scripture, and I'm calling it.
Yeah.
Philemon, or Philemon, whatever, however you want to say it. Okay, that's like right after 2 Timothy. You got Titus, you got Philemon, and then you got Hebrews. Okay, one scripture, chapter 1, verse 6. There is only one chapter. Verse 6. Okay. This scripture, I don't know how many times I read it, and I didn't get it. And then one day, the Spirit of God shook me. It says this, that the sharing of your faith, that means the release of your faith, the communication, the transfer of your faith. How does your faith get transmitted? How does your faith get released? How does your faith get communicated? That the communication of your faith, the release of your faith, may become effective. That means may begin to work. We all want this faith in us to work, right? He's saying, okay, that you're going to see a release. You're going to see this faith in you become effective and begin to work by the acknowledgement, that means the realization, mm-hmm. that means the acceptance,
understanding.
That means the appreciation of every good thing which is in you, which is already in you, in Christ Jesus. Wow.
Yeah.
So I found, when I found myself with these human emotions and these situations that were like, I knew this isn't going to bless anybody. That what I needed to do was I needed to acknowledge who I was in Jesus Christ. I had to acknowledge who God has made me to be, the spirit man that I am, that I am not a sinner. I am not someone who gets all bent. I am not someone who worries. I am not someone who has fear. I'm not someone who has habits that don't bring any glory to God. That is not who I am. Now I'm speaking from here, from the glory zone, from the there is no limit to what is available to me zone. I'm speaking from the place where everything is possible now. Okay, from here, everything is impossible. But from here, from the God zone, the eternal zone, everything has now become possible. And I'm speaking out of this position in Jesus Christ. And I'm declaring the exact opposite of the feelings that I've been having. I declare the exact opposite of the emotions that are not godly and bring no glory to Jesus Christ. I declare the exact, I'm acknowledging that's not who I am. And the Spirit of God sees the faith. And I tell you, it's not going to be instant, just like anything else in the kingdom. He begins the work. He who has begun a good work within you. When the Spirit of God begins a good work within you, because he sees the faith of Jesus in you, he will carry it on to completion.
Yeah.
He will do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I said that was the last scripture. It's not. One more. Philippians chapter 2. Because the question comes, what if I don't want to quit? What if I don't want to stop this bad habit? Brings no glory to God. What if I don't want to? What if I don't want to go to Mozambique? What if I don't want to go to Ethiopia? What if I don't want to go? What if I don't want to go hang out in a mud hut? What if I don't want to do that? What if I don't want to go to my neighbor? Okay, not right now. What if this thing is over? Okay. You're going to be going, you're going to have open doors again. What if I don't want to? And what does that mean? Here again, we try to get ourselves into the place of trying to make ourselves do something, and that's totally out of the human realm. Not God, not his plan. He says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, work out. Who is it that's working? He says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. What does he mean? He means, so trust in him. So lean on him. And no matter what you're going through, your confidence, your faith, your trust is totally 100% in him to take you through, to give you what you need. Not in what you do, not in your ability, but in his ability. Say, be responsible. Yeah, you know what I say about that? Responsibility means response to his ability.
Thanks, sir.
It's him. It's all him. And we miss I missed so much in my Christian life because I was trying to work it out. I was trying to make God things happen. I was trying to get things going. I was trying to create opportunities with people. I was trying to make openings with people. And he never asked for us to try to do anything.
Yeah.
He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is, verse 13, for it is God. Say, it is God.
It is God
who works in you. Who's working in you? God who works in you. To what? To will. Okay, I love this. I love this. Okay, so I'm not willing to do things. What do? Holy Spirit, I'm not willing. I remember the time he spoke back to me and he says, are you willing to make me? Are you willing to let me make you be willing? Ooh. Yes, Holy Spirit. I'm willing for you to make me be willing.
Yes.
Please do it. He will continue to work in you until you purpose in your heart what he's purposed for you. Until your confidence and your direction and your leading and where you're going to go in life and the things you're going to do are exactly what he had planned for you, because you letting him work in you to cause you to will. For what? To both to will and to do. For his good pleasure. Do you understand?
Mm.
If he's pleased, he's having fun, he's having an enjoyable time out of his will being done through us, do you think you're going to be happy? Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no better happiness, there's no better joy. It's joy inexpressible and full of glory when his will is being done through you. And if you're not doing it, just tell him, I can't do it, I can't bring myself to do it. I am willing for you to make me willing. And he will. And he will.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Al said, without a doubt.
Amen.
Without a doubt. And that's what he wants. He wants there to not be a doubt.
Yeah.
He's so got us. He has so got you. He's so holding your life in him. He has such awesome plans for you that if he began to tell you the things that he's got down the road for you, you'd start. Because it's impossible from this side.
Yeah.
It's only possible from here, from the glory zone. And that's everything he does is coming out of the glory zone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Well, good thing.
I'm done.
Good
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.